Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and directly across from me, glaring into his computer with a huge sad face because the Stars lost Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios.
They're just down one, right?
yeah. They're not done. They've been down before. They've been down actually in every series.
That is true. Yeah.
So yeah, the panic button has not been hit yet. If you hear any rumbling in the background, we are in a thunderstorm right now.
Yeah, a pretty good one has been coming this way.
I checked the garden this morning. We got 2 inches over the night.
Oh, yeah. So it's rumbling and bumbling and whatever else is going on out there.
I don't mind it. It's cooled everything off.
I don't like the swirling winds, and I don't like the hard water falling from the sky. Other than that, everything's good.
I heard Grayford got like half-dollar size hail, so I don't like the hail.
Somebody was posting pictures from the last tornado stuff went through. They were baseball size.
Oh my
chunks
God.
Of hail down. I was like, man,
the worst hailstorm I've ever been in. As I was a kid, and I was staying at my grandparents' house, the ones that lived here in Weatherford, and I remember it was so bad that it broke several of the windows of the house. And since I've never experienced it that bad ever again.
One of my nieces got caught in it. Remember a few years ago, Jess got caught in it driving.
Bashed up her windshield.
Beat all the glass out of her car and everything. She had pulled over. Everybody pulled over and beat the glass out of it all the way around.
Man, that's terrible.
It's pretty wild. Speaking of pretty wild, I got something for you.
Where do birds go when that happens? You know what I'm saying?
Man, they have to go inside.
Inside what?
If they've got their bird homes built inside of trees or logs or anything, but you're right. Where do they go?
Yeah, like how are all the turkey killed in that area?
Some of them get mollywopped. Yeah, some of them don't get it. Well, I told you that we had talked to during that real bad freeze when we had the snowmageddon. It killed off all those turkey where they were just freezing to death on the roost. And the guys, the Parks and Wildlife guy said that he'd been to roost spots that they'd be over 350 birds dead underneath it, just froze to death.
Gather them up, give them away to the homeless. That's free Thanksgiving dinners for the homeless.
To go, right? Yeah. It would just be, yeah. But the hailstones, yeah, where do they go? Everything has to hide.
I
always think about the cows and the horses. Like, you got to make sure you got your horses put up. Where are they going to go? You don't want to keep them out. I mean, like, it can be bad.
Well, that's like in my garden. We're growing zucchini and squash. And every year, they'll be growing totally fine. And then all of a sudden, there'll be squash bugs eating the heck out of it. I'm like, do they smell it? Like, how do they find it?
Yeah, they have to.
You never see them on anything else.
Well, you notice they don't call them squash searching bugs.
Yeah, that's right.
They just call them squash bugs.
Like every time you have a swimming pool, within a couple of days, you got water bugs in it. Where do they find them? Where do they come from? They just materialize.
They just like dive off of like a bird's back and land in the water.
My throat. Sorry.
I woke up sneezing this morning. I'm lucky I can talk. Yeah. All the rain's got it stirred up. Craziness.
Let's get into some crazy stories.
Well, good. I've got one for you that you're going to love. This takes place, y'all, near Dambashawa Caves. What? Yeah. The Dambashawa Caves in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
There was a 7-foot-tall upright hyena cryptid encountered there. That's right. You heard this correct. This took place in the Mashonaland East Province back in 2002. Near those caves. Three individuals who regularly snuck into this area and like to crack some cold ones and hang out. That's one of those where your buddy goes, I know a spot. Next thing you know, you're in a cave and there's a big giant hyena man.
I wonder what the most popular beer is in Zimbabwe.
I don't know. That is a very good question. I don't know. I don't know what all gets imported there if they even make some there.
Yeah, like they have their own microbreweries.
Yeah, maybe so.
Go ahead.
So one night, as usual, The group sneaks in. They go to their regular spot, crack open some cold ones. It's dark. It's late. They're sitting there drinking. Of course, you know, chewing the fat, telling lies, discussing life, as we all do. Of course, it was late. And as they're doing so, they start hearing laughter, Philly. Laughter coming from the near brush of the woods. Now, initially, they said that they thought it was someone laughing at them. And they just decided to ignore it, of course. But they continue talking, and the laughter starts up again. Now, this time, they said, it's annoyingly loud. So they turn to look at the brush, only to reveal green eyes looking at them. Now, it says this thing, though, what they thought was green eyes, these green eyes were 7 foot tall. They were staring at them, just glaring down. Said at this point, the creature steps forward from the brush to reveal under the moonlight that it had the head of a hyena.
Wow.
Giant hyena with fur and black spots on it. So there we sounds like Hyena Man from the island of Dr. Moreau, right? This is what's going down. So they couldn't really see what color the fur was, but they could tell that it was lighter color. It did have a hunched over back. It was very lean and muscular, standing on two legs. Said they didn't notice what the legs were like. Of course, they're all focused on it. But what they did notice was its hands. This thing had hands like a man with claws on the end. They said this thing roars at them like a lion. And then, of course, they just jump up and take off. Now, they said that for a short while that they could hear this thing chasing them. Then it stopped. They all kept running despite the fact this thing had stopped chasing. Then they ran all the way back to the main road and get back to where all the shops and everything are. And as far as they've led on, they've agreed not to talk about it, nor tell anyone about where exactly it was. Nothing. They report the story. That was it. They've not been back. None of this stuff since that happened.
It sounds like one too many Chibuku Shake Shakes.
Is that what it is?
It says here, the most popular beers in Zimbabwe are Zambezi Lager, which is considered their national beer.
Okay.
Or Chibuku, known as Chibuku Shake Shake, is another popular option, especially amongst less affluent customers.
Okay.
And the third one is Castle Lager.
So Shibuya Shake Shake is like Natty Lights.
I guess so.
I got you.
Yeah, and maybe it's changed when it became.
And what was the other one?
Zambezi. Zambezi Lager.
Zambezi Lager.
That's their national beer.
Okay.
And then Castle Lager.
We'll have to go down to the liquor store and ask if they can get us a sixer of Zambezi.
I can get Dana to get it imported.
Probably.
Yep. Oh, 100%. I don't know that I want to drink it, though. I don't know if I want to start seeing Hyena Man.
I don't want to see Hyena Man. All jokes aside, though, it makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
You're in Africa. There's a big hyena laughing. There's a big hyena man.
Yeah.
But I would legit freak out.
Oh, I would too.
Right. But why do I like the hyena man better than dog man? Because is it different from the werewolf? So I enjoy hyena man.
I don't know.
Hyena man's, that's my guy.
Speaking of getting freaked out, check this out. This person says, the creature I'm about to describe has never tried harming me.
Ooh.
But it has oftentimes made me feel unsafe and threatened. As the years have passed, I've begun paying less mind to it and just putting the feeling in the back of my mind. In January of 2012, I bought a horse and began boarding it at a very old barn near Pensacola, Florida. It was a small, tight-knit, friendly barn community not far from my home. It had been around since the 1960s and was surrounded by woods. There were three barns. The main arena was entirely surrounded by thick woods, and there were small trails in these woods behind the property. Fast forward.
We covered this one. This is a re-release if you're talking about the Pale Crawler.
Oh, it is?
They came up. Yeah, we covered this one with Lon. Oh, he released it a while back because I remember when I first saw it posted, I'm like, that right there sounds very, very familiar. And I went and read it, and that's the one that we had done.
No big deal. I got lots here. Speaking of creepy, check this out. I currently live in central Illinois, but I was born and raised in New Jersey, in the Pine Barrens. Growing up there, we had all heard stories of encounters with the Jersey Devil. Now, my grandma had an encounter along with my dad. Pretty much anyone who has ever lived there knows someone who has claimed to have seen this creature. Now, I even have a former boss who staged a prank on his friend that ended up getting reported as the Jersey Devil sighting back in the 1970s. He never told his friend it was all a prank, so I think that it's still an official sighting if you go back and look in the books. Even after hearing all these stories growing up, I was never afraid to come across him. He always portrayed as a shy, somewhat benign creature. He was never aggressive, and he was always visible enough for the persons to just barely catch a glimpse of him. I always felt sorry for him in a way. He always seemed to lead such a lonely existence. Anyhow, I spent my childhood years riding around on my four-wheeler in his territory, with no more fear of coming across the Jersey Devil than I would coming across a poorly concealed corpse dumped by the mob. Flash forward to my teen years. I'm working on a blueberry farm in Horton State Forest with my brother's girlfriend, Janice. She didn't have a driver's license at the time, so I usually ended up driving her back and forth to work every day.
Now she's my girlfriend, Janice.
We usually worked well past dinner time, and this particular story took place in the early days of fall. That evening, as I was dropping her off at her house, it was a few hours after sunset. The farm we worked on was pretty deep in the middle of nowhere, and the farm she lived on was even deeper in the middle of nowhere. To get to her house, we had to drive through some pretty thick forests on gravel roads with no streetlights. It would freak anyone out, I suppose, but I was used to driving through the dark woods, so it was never anything that really bothered me. I got Janice safely to her house, went inside and exchanged some pleasantries with her parents, and then shortly made my way off to my home. I was on the last stretch of road before the main highway that would take me to the end of town. That's when I was overcome with the creepiest feeling. I can't describe it any other way than it just felt like I was being watched. So, like the dumb-numb that I am, I stopped the car. My doors were locked, and I had a big wrench under my seat. I knew how to swing it to make it hurt if I needed to. I'm still in Jersey, after all. So I'm sitting there scanning the road ahead of me, and I can't really see anything other than 30 to 40-year-old blueberry bushes on either side of the road. If you let blueberry bushes grow wild, they'll climb to a pretty astonishing height. With all these tall bushes lining the road, I really couldn't see too far into the forest around me. After looking for a few seconds, I popped back into the car and popped it back into gear. I slowly started pulling down the road again. That's when I noticed movement at the top of one of these tall bushes. I stopped the car again and immediately started staring in that direction. Once I focused my eyes, I could clearly see something very large crouching on the top of one of the blueberry bushes. I couldn't make out any details as far as colors or facial or body details, but it was like something clearly silhouetted against the bright starry sky. What I could make out was something larger than a man, and it had a huge head, sitting in a half-crouched position, almost like it was ready to spring from its hind legs. I sat and stared at it for what seemed like an eternity. I was baffled on how something that big could sit on top of the blueberry bush like that without it sinking down. As I said before, these bushes were very old and tall, but they're not very sturdy. They grow almost like a garden hedge, so anything could possibly be sitting on the top of them without breaking the branches and tearing the bushes all to heck. In my concentration at staring at whatever it was in the bushes, I accidentally let my foot slip from the clutch and my car stalled the engine. Such a stupid move, I thought. I can honestly tell you I came very close to almost pooping my pants right then and there. This is the wrong move. Right there, in any horror movie, you don't let your car die in the middle of the woods while some creature is stalking you. Anyways, I think the sound of my car startled it because this thing, its head whipped around to stare right at me, just as it took off in one swift motion and was gone from my sight. As it was taking off, I didn't exactly see any wings on its back, but I heard a very loud whooshing sound like large wings would make. In addition to hearing this, I could make out some very powerful-looking legs that were bent at the knees like a horse's legs would be. It used them and the assumed wings on its back to disappear from my sight in just a matter of seconds. Since the car was now stalled and quiet, I could hear a loud screech and whoosh of air above me that grew fainter within seconds. Whatever this thing was, it was fast and it was powerful. I know I weirdly keep talking about these blueberry bushes, but I swear they are important to the story. As this creature was taking off from me, those bushes almost bent in half as it jumped off of them, and I sat there watching them thrash and sway for quite a few moments after the creature was gone. Whatever was up there was skilled enough to sit on the top of it without breaking the branches, but powerful enough to get them crashing around like crazy once it leaped off of them. Needless to say, I freaked the hell out. I got the car started, threw it back into gear, and swung around the road, heading back to the safety of Janice's house, all within moments of this thing screeching away from me. I must have looked like a crazy person. When I showed back up at their house, I drove over the railway tiles in their driveway. I left my driver's side door open, and I just barged into these people's house. I started babbling to Janice's dad about what I'd just seen, and he calmly told me, "You must have seen the Jersey Devil." He drove with me back to the spot where I'd seen it and confirmed there was definitely a disturbance in the bushes on that side of the road. He told me that he had quite a few sightings of the Jersey Devil on his land before, but he'd never said anything to his wife or daughters so they wouldn't get freaked out. Needless to say, I let the cat out of the bag on it, but he really didn't seem to mind. I think he was happy to have someone else bolster his own sightings on his own land. I've never officially reported this sighting to date, but it did earn me a bit of badge of courage among the locals for being dumb enough to stop and stare at a creature in the dark all by myself, Lindsay. So,
yikes.
She sees what she thinks is the Jersey Devil and did not know that Janice's father had seen it several times too and just never said nothing.
Never said a word about it.
Yeah, this is what we talk about all the time. And that's what happened to me with my orb sightings. I didn't say anything. I only felt confident after someone else had seen it. So just put that out in the world. How many people out there have had crazy sightings of like a hyena man or who knows what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And until they hear your voice talk about it, they're like, dude, I thought I was the only one.
And how calm he was about it. Like, oh, yeah, you just saw the Jersey Devil. I've seen it a few times. Come on, let's go check it out.
Yeah, very crazy.
Like, you just want to go check it out?
Yeah.
Like, no, I think I'm good. I think something that's not good that I have here is just for you. The headline.
Just for me.
Just for you. Spidersaurus Rex.
What?
Monstrous spider freaks out tourist in the Dominican Republic.
I hate spiders. I got bit by a spider just like a week ago.
That's what you get.
I never saw it, but it happened while I was sleeping.
See, that's your favorite.
I'm not bothering you. And you just walk up and bite me. It's wrong.
I mean, that's why I hate
like
them.
A snake. If you mess with it, it'll mess with you. But they don't just like attack you
in your sleep.
Yeah.
So spiders are cowards, is what they are. They're sneaky, silent cowards.
Go ahead. Tell me about this giant spider. Dominican Republic, another place I'll never go.
Here we go. We don't know what we saw. In the summer of 2014, we were in the Dominican Republic staying at a locally owned hotel. Now, it was a nice hotel, but nothing luxurious, and a very open air sort of place. We'd gone out for dinner, had enjoyed a bottle of wine. We weren't drunk. We weren't anything. I come back to the room. I'm lying in bed reading. My husband comes out of the bathroom completely white-faced in shock. He says, there's a spider in the bathroom. I look at him and laugh. Spiders in the Dominican Republic are big, but nothing to freak out over. He looked like he had seen Satan himself by his expression. So I go into the bathroom. All I see are four thick, hairy, orange and black legs coming out of the sink basin. They were at least 10 inches long and at least as thick as number two pencils. Very hairy. From about 5 foot away, I could see the separate orange and black hairs.
No, no, no.
I'm short, so I couldn't see the whole thing over the sink from the distance that I was. There was a towel blocking the direct view, plus the sink basin. But just by the legs I saw, I knew I was looking at almost a 2 foot long spider. I calmly walked back to my husband. Did you see it? Did you see it? I nod. We leave the room to get help from the front desk. Our broken Spanish had the staffers in hysterical laughter, not to mention what they took as overreacting to tourists scared of a little spider. One staffer, Jose, came to look, and it was gone. So he tells us that he has at least three in his home, which is when I realized that these people either don't believe me or don't understand what I'm saying. I've lived in tropical climates before, and there's no way in hell that you would share a home with a spider that we saw. A day later, we have a normal spider infestation. I go to the desk, ask for bug spray. The staffers are still having a laugh at our expense, but the same guy, Jose, comes up to me with the spray. We're cleaning up the spiders, which are about 5 inches or so, daddy long leg type, and he's surprised that I'm suddenly not scared by these spiders. He asked why, and I inform him that these spiders aren't what we saw the other night, and I had to use my hands to show him the size of what we saw. His mouth dropped. I've never heard of anything like that in my entire life in the Dominican Republic, but who knows what can come out of the jungle. It wasn't until a little while later that my husband, while discussing Harry, our pet name for this giant spider, realized that I'd only seen half of it. My estimate of a 10-inch long leg plus 10-inch leg for a total of 20 inches minus 2 feet or whatever out of this area was severely off. He said the whole body and the body minus the legs was as wide as his entire hand, a grown man's hand. So it was likely way bigger than the 2 foot diameter. He also said that there were multiple big black eyes. I've since gone on numerous arachnid websites and have even contacted arachnologists to try to identify what we saw. Most came back suggesting a Mexican spider, I forget the name of it now, that I might have somehow gotten to the Dominican Republic in someone's luggage. But that spider is not what we saw. What we saw was basically a Spidersaurus Rex. Thanks, Kay.
Oh, that's terrifying. Terrifying. That's why, look, I would love to see and explore the Amazon jungle, but I will never go because of the insects.
Well, and look at, like Jose said, I've lived here my whole life, never seen one, but I don't know what comes out of that jungle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like anything could have appeared out of that jungle and then made its way off.
Mm.
Right? Something completely unsettling. Folks, gather your nerve. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we've got a few more stories that's probably going to set you on edge, or at least we're going to try to. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There we go, and I got one for you, homie.
Okay.
This is a headline that grabbed my attention.
Oh, boy.
And I knew it would yours, too. A short, black-eyed, otherworldly female encountered in an experiencer's bedroom.
Okay.
Lon posted this up, and this is awesome. Here we go. This occurred near Houston, Texas, during the evening of September 24th, 2021.
Space City.
Space City. I woke up with my head turned to the side of my bed, opened my eyes to a being about 3 to 3.5 feet tall. The entity appeared to be a female in orientation. She had her hair, which appeared to be black, pulled into either a tight bun or ponytail behind her head. Her skin appeared to be a dark olive tone. She wore clothes, but I don't remember them in detail, though I do remember that they were bright yellow. I knew she was otherworldly because of her facial features. Her eyes were small and completely black. She did not blink the entire time she was in my presence. Her mouth was lipless and in a straight line on her face. It was also slightly parted. She also had extremely high cheekbones. Her body did not move, but when she spoke to me, it was telepathically. I don't remember what she said, but I do recall it was a reprimand of some kind, and that I replied sarcastically, and at no point did I feel afraid. My dog also acknowledged the being in the room. After she spoke, I looked to the foot of my bed where my dog was moving towards me. When I looked back at the being, she stayed visible for about 2 seconds, then disappeared. Because of her human-like appearance, I wondered whether this was a full-blooded entity or a hybrid. I had the overwhelming feeling that she was familiar to me and that we were used to each other's presence. This is my first memorable run-in with a being, however. I've had several indications that something might be going on. Just over a month ago, for instance, I found a red, freshly healed scoop mark on my inner thigh. And that's all that I can remember, T.
That sounds like an abduction case.
It does. So it's like this little old gal comes down, like she may be in a little yellow lab coat. And she's just making sure she's getting you back in bed before she leaves you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Maybe it was an alien-human hybrid, because people have talked about that, where they've been abducted and then they've seen like what they thought.
It was either their children
And you're introduced and you're like, it looked like me, but it also looked like half gray.
Well, and what they point out too is saying like, I felt familiar. Maybe this is the person that brings you back or the gray that brings you back multiple times.
Yeah.
That the reason, and then pulls that memory out of your head and bounces. And of course, it's probably not a short, black-eyed, otherworldly female. It's just what you're perceiving it as while it's whipping its magic on you or whatever that it does to make you believe it.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of being abducted, there's a pretty scary story.
Abductions are scary enough already. The idea that you can be laying in your room.
Yeah, that's what's so terrifying.
And then just snatch you out of it and take you off into space. I'm not about that.
This woman thinks that the aliens were trying to abduct her daughter and her son. This took place in 1986 in Cornville, Maine. And this woman said, we were living up in Cornville, Maine. I was exercising in my kitchen, and then all of a sudden the lights went out. So I grabbed my .38 Special out of the cabinet, which we kept in the kitchen. I grabbed it and ran across the house because it was a big, long house. I ran across it and sat with the kids. I could hear movement on the front porch, and my dog was outside. My dog that was outside was barking. So when I looked out, I saw these little figures, three little grayish white figures. It was pouring at the time. And they were out scampering around the porch, making no noise, looking through the windows. And I heard a door slam upstairs because it's a big old farmhouse and we didn't use the upstairs. So my hand is on the gun. And I mean, my hand is literally blistering. So I yelled out, I have a gun and I'm going to use it. I'm going to ask questions later. I'm going to shoot and ask questions later is what exactly what I said.
Panic.
And then I heard another door slam upstairs. All of a sudden, I hear my husband's truck coming up the driveway. The minutes the lights turned the corner, the lights in the house all came back on in the house and the dog immediately stopped barking. It was just really strange because the minute Greg came into the house, I collapsed into his arms and told him what happened, that these creatures were all over the porch and that I had gotten the gun out. He had to take the gun and pry it from my hand because I would not let the gun go. I was so afraid. They just disappeared after that. Like immediately after my husband rounded the driveway, the creatures ran off. I firmly believe to this day that they were trying to get my children.
Wow.
So it sounds like a alien abduction case, much like in your story, but it sounds like they've already gotten her.
Except mom's strapped.
Yeah, well, think.
Keep it up. Keep it up, little gray alien. You're going to get shot.
Start blasting. It reminds me, the story is eerily similar to the Hopkinsville goblin incident. Remember where the people were in a cabin? I believe it was in Kentucky.
I don't care for that.
And one night, all of a sudden, these strange creatures started trying to get in the house, and they started shooting at them.
I'm not down with that at all.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not down with any of that.
Yeah. Creepy.
Look, I got you on here that could easily happen. This caught my attention because I remember hearing another story remotely close to this. But let me throw this one on you. It says, I have a little story here that's, I don't really know what to make of it. Think you would enjoy this a little bit. I'm in my early 60s. I grew up here in New Jersey. Well, my brother and I and my brother's best friend, who later turned out 30 years later on marrying my sister, had become my brother-in-law. And what we would do is all of this stuff is he loves to fish. So on his birthday, his father, we used to drop us off. We were kids. We would all get dropped off to go fishing. Then he would pick us up there in Jersey. And we would fish all day. And this went on. And as we grew up, of course, we would fish together off and on our whole lives. Well, he's recently passed away. So he used to always want to fish Lake Okeechobee in Florida. So that's what we decided to do. Us and the whole friend group decided to go down there. He says, there was a dozen of us. We have three boats when we got there, and it was close to 100 degrees in the middle of August. So at that moment, we decided, if we're going to fish, let's wait to do it at night. Go out on the boats. So we get out there that evening, and we're fishing. Now, granted, we'd had a couple of drinks, but there was no alcohol amount in the world that could explain this away. What you do if you're fishing for bass at night, we like to use the top water. So we're using top water lures to attract them. And we're out in the lake, and my brother, who's in the back of the boat, turns around and says, "Wait a minute, stop. Stop. I'm snagged." My buddy in the boat says, "What the hell do you mean you're snagged? We're not even around anything." He says, "You look back." He said, "We're 75 yards from the shore. There's no trees. There's no anything." I said, "My brother's brother." And I was like, "Back up, back up." Or his brother, rather. He says, "We pull out the spotlight and we're following his line to see what he snagged on. But in the meantime, he's got the poles bent, right? Like he's like, something's bending it."
Yeah.
We get up. He starts yelling that we're only a few feet away. I'm looking. I can't tell that there's anything. There's no branches, real fishing line across the lake, anything. We get up to the fishing lure. It's maybe 5 foot off the surface of the water. He's standing in the back of the boat, so it's probably...
The lure is above the water?
Yes. It's level with him, and he's holding onto his line yelling, "Look at this." He goes, "Grab it. Go ahead and grab it, but look at it." We put the spotlight on the lure, and it's hovering in midair. It had enough tension on it that he had about 12 or 14 pound test, and the rod was bent over right at the tip. He said, "Look," he opened the barrel of his reel. We went back up. He said, "I was in total amazement." He circled his hand around the entire thing like a magician to show that there was nothing okay, there.
Right. I was saying, maybe he snagged on another piece of fishing line.
Nothing. The only thing that was attached to that lure was the line that was attached to his pole.
So what was holding it in place?
They don't know. Got it down the whole deal. Now, the reason I tell that.
Tractor beam.
Is because I remember this happened, I think we got this not even a year ago. Same thing, a guy talking about fishing, but I believe they were bay fishing at night. I believe it's saltwater fishing when this all went down, where a guy did the same thing, made a huge cast, and the lure didn't hit in the water. It hit on top of something, just laying out, floating in the air. Like what? It threw it on something invisible. And I don't remember if it was late at night or at night, but he said you could see the lure on top of, like, you had thrown it on top of a clear vehicle. And that's the first thing I thought of is, well, if it's these crazy UFOs, what if they're just parked out there?
Yeah, they and
right. You're just hovering above the water and nobody knows until a random fishing line goes across it. And then you're like, why is my lure? What is that? Reels it back in, made a few more casts that way. It never did it again. But he threw a lure across it. Kind of the same thing as along this lines. So maybe there are UFOs in and around the water, hovering around there. Yeah, wouldn't know it. Because you think most bass boats, a guy fishing, if a UFO's only hovering 15 foot above the water, you're safe. Right? You can see it. You're not going to run. Nothing's going to run into you on the lake.
That's insane.
Next thing you know, a fishing line goes over it.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Speaking of crazy, says, check this out. It says, "Hello, guys. I have a very strange experience I would like to share with you and the other listeners."
Lay it on us.
This happened back in 2013, and I've only told a few people about it. During the encounter, I was driving towards Ottawa, northbound on the 416 Memorial Highway. It was around 12:20 in the afternoon on a clear, sunny day, but it was very windy. When I noticed at first what I thought was a huge seagull about 200 feet in the air ahead of me, within seconds, I noticed the wings did not match the initial interpretation I had made, and then saw outstretched arms, a head, and torso with legs tucked together in a horizontal orientation. The wings, I could see now as I drove towards it at around 120 kilometers an hour, were pure white and very large. Its wings moved up and down rather slowly, each doing a nearly 180-degree movement up and down. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I estimate its full wingspan to be about 25 to 30 feet. If one of my thoughts during the sighting was that the wings appeared too big for its body, and I wondered how such long wings would be stored when the creature was walking around on the ground. So during these observations, my car was steadily heading towards this thing that was also descending, bringing it to an extremely clear view. The road turns a few times, changing my initial straight-ahead view to an up and to the right of the sight, eventually being directly adjacent to me when it landed about 75 feet from my car. So now I was looking to my right. I could see it coming down to treetop level, still in a horizontal body position, gliding a bit more than flapping its wings like it did when it was higher. The sun lit up the white feathers, and the wings appeared to be gray underneath due to the sun and their shadow. The part that still sends chills down my spine was the being's human-like characteristics, yet not being like any human I've ever seen. He was the color of dark, wet clay. Face, lips, arms, legs, everything. He was also 12 to 15 foot tall, judging by his height, compared to the trees around him. His physical stature would make a 12-foot tall bodybuilder look like a scrawny pipsqueak. The mass and size of its muscles were beast-like and very powerful-looking. I remember it looking over and down towards us on the highway, and the thing terrified me. It looked at us like we do ants, but with a certain disdain in its glance. The best look at his face was when he actually landed. At this point, he dropped his body to a vertical orientation and outstretched his wings to land. Curiously, I could see that in the heavy winds, he was having some trouble. His legs and arms seemed to be bending and being used as a counterbalance, but the giant wings were catching a lot of wind, making him just completely unstable upon final descent, as his limbs were awkwardly jockeying for a balancing point as his wings acted like a massive sail. At this time, I could clearly see the inner feathers blowing feverishly in the wind, down-like and soft, while the further to the outside of the wing, they looked longer and longer, stiffer and more defined, the feathers became. So stiff and longer feathers around the edges and down-like feathers in the inner parts of the wing's undersides, I thought it to look like a mythological cartoon, like in terms they were supposedly to be magically ascend with light and singing, etc. But not the case here, where it was clearly affected by and had to follow the laws of nature from what I saw. It had no facial hair, but wore some type of headdress, gray in color, and had like braided or dreaded-looking pigtails coming out from under its hat on either side of its neck, behind the ears going to the back of its shoulders. I could see around its neck that it wore some type of robe matching its skin and color, and being thin enough that I could see its muscles right through it. When landing, I could clearly see each of its legs, so it was probably kilt-like on the bottom half of the garment. He did not appear friendly or welcoming. The last seconds I could see him was of his ominous glare towards my direction through my back window as I passed at the moment of its touchdown. His nose and upper eye socket ridges cast a black shadow over portions of its clay-colored warrior-looking face. It looked like he was here for a definite reason, and the fact that we on the road could even see him did not seem to bother him at all. At this point, I lost visual contact due to the converging tree lines between it and myself, before looking ahead at a roadside reading exit 66 ahead. Seconds after that, I could see buildings in the south end of Ottawa for the first time. This thing literally landed as close to our nation's capital as it could, while still having fields with trees to block its cover. If you look on Google Maps, it landed in a field along the north side of 416 Highway, west of where the Cambridge and Cedarview roads intersect, and south of the river winding west to east. The being was both the most beautiful and the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. It has affected my life in a substantial and eventually positive way. But I live with some regret, having not slammed my brakes on to look at it more. I often wonder, if I did that, would it have destroyed me? At least I would know more. I would least like to know more about this creature. What did I see? Has anyone else seen anything like this? That's crazy.
Wowzers.
It sounds like what are the guys in Prometheus, but it had wings, like some mythical, like angel-like
almost
creature.
Like engineers that fly.
Yeah, that descended. That was from Eric. Thank you, Eric.
Nephilim.
Man. How do you explain that? He clearly sees it. It's in the middle of the day. It has large wings. It's muscular. Has what looks like pigtails.
Like explain it away as something
natural.
It's
gray in color. And he said he thought.
Doesn't happen.
When it was descending, he was fighting the wind. So he could tell it wasn't like a supernatural creature that the wind had no effect on it. It still was obeying the laws of nature.
Yeah, that you weren't supposed to see that.
But 10 or 12 foot tall.
That, yeah.
It reminds me of a classic story. We've covered it before when it comes to flying humanoids. There was the guys in Vietnam that saw what looked like a woman flying around. In fact, I'll retell that story. While stationed near Da Nang in August of 1969, PFC Earl Morrison of the 1st Marine Division and two other guards had an extraordinary sight just after 1 o'clock in the morning. They were sitting atop a bunker and talking when they noticed something approaching them in the sky. Now, Earl goes on to say, "We saw what looked like wings, like a bat's, only it was a gigantic compared to what a regular bat should be. After it got close enough so we could see what it wasn't a bat. It looked like a woman, a naked woman. She was all black. Her skin was black, her body was black, the wings were black, everything was black. But it glowed. It glowed in a night kind of greenish cast to it. She started going over us, and we still didn't hear anything. She was right above us, and when she got over the top of our heads, she was maybe 6 or 7 feet up. We watched her go straight over the top of us, and she still didn't make any noise while flapping her wings. She blotted out the moon once that's how close she was above us, and the dark looked like pitch black when it did. But we could still see the definition of her because she had like a glowing outline, really bright-like. She started going past us towards the encampment, and as we watched her, she got about 10 feet or so away from us. We started hearing her wings flap, and it sounded, you know, like regular wings flapping, and she just started flying off. We watched her for quite a while. The covering on her skin was more like fur than feathers. The skin of her wings looked like it was molded onto her hands, and the movement of her arms suggested they had no bones in them." And that's what Private Morrison claims that him and two other guys witnessed at night.
And what could that even be?
I don't know, but I think
there's
about
nothing
the
like
jungles of Vietnam.
And it makes sense.
And in the morning.
I always think about the rock apes.
Yeah, the rock apes.
Every time I think about the Vietnam stuff, I think about the rock apes.
I do too, because that seems like a place that they would have something like
that. Yeah. Just like that. Anything creepy. Like if you tell me something creepy is in the deep forest or the deep jungles, I'm more likely to believe.
Yeah, well, that
draws me to it.
I mean, that part of the world is where like orangutans come from.
He always goes to the orangutan, y'all.
Yeah, because that's what I think people confuse the skunk ape and stuff with.
He loves right turn clads.
Yeah.
Loves it.
I think of the movie Congo, and then I expect.
Yes.
Remember the monkeys living in there? So that's what I think of the rock apes. In my mind, I want to pretend like
those are supposed to be like the bonobo ape or something. That's what they were playing out as.
In my mind, I want to pretend there's like a platoon out in the forest of Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And they come across this tribe, and it's these rock apes, just like in the movie Congo.
That would be a great film.
You know what I'm talking about?
If there was like one survivor left and all that stuff, and they played it all. Yeah. But it's where that would be a great film. Dig this one, though. This one wouldn't be so great. It says, this is going to sound weird, but I've had an experience at the new Camaldoli Hermitage. It's a working monastery south of Big Sur, California. This is my first time telling this. It'll probably sound insane, but so be it. I was doing a silent retreat and went outside late that evening, and I saw a very tall humanoid figure that was 7 to 8 foot in height. It had very long limbs, was very thin, and wearing a bodysuit of shiny material. It was running on a hill, moving very fluidly and very fast. I ran the 20 feet back into my room, which had a back door and a window overlooking a gulch, with only enough room for a very narrow deer path. I ran back in just in time to see the same entity move into the field of vision in the far window. It was almost like a rack focus in a film as I sprinted across the room to lock the door. The entity disappeared, and I've never seen it again. But the distance it would have had to cover to make it behind the building was far too fast for any human to cover. Now, I'm a rationalist. The retreat was to get away from the tech world that I live in. So I have always chalked it up to some kind of military experiment. I give you this story now. You decide, Martin.
Damn, that's wild, right?
That one is, but what makes me think about it is the one that we had sent in where they had seen it through the thermal. That long thing hiding behind the rocks outside the military base. They dispatched people over there to it. They all saw it run off with all the thermal stuff. Same type of thing. Now, they didn't say it was wearing a shiny suit in the first one, but this one at least wasn't running around naked.
Man, that's crazy.
Now, it gets wackier. I've got... This one was one that was encountered in Mexico City. Sounds again like another crawler. Says, I used to think that crawler humanoids were just creepypasta or beliefs held by ignorant people. That was until January of 2022, during the pandemic, I saw one in Mexico City. It was around 8:30 p.m. in a highly urbanized area in the middle of the city, but close to an ecological reserve. Fortunately, I wasn't alone when I saw this thing, because otherwise I might have thought it was a hallucination. I am a biologist, and I was with my wife, who was a nutritionist, my brother, who is also a biologist with a PhD, and my mother. It was our usual nighttime walk along our usual route. I had never seen anything like this before, and unfortunately, I haven't seen anything like it since. It was my wife who first saw it about 30 meters away, illuminated only by the moonlight. Now, she pointed it out, and initially, we thought it was just a dog. But upon closer inspection, it looked like a person who was bald, pale, and crawling on the ground at 180 degrees. A human would naturally lift their pelvis to move that way, but this thing did not. It looked like Gollum or the creatures from the movie The Descent. I thought it was a homeless person, though it's rare to see such individuals there. I didn't feel fear, but rather curiosity. I wanted to get closer to see what it was, but my companion stopped me. We hurried and walked silently to reach a more populated area. Within 5 minutes, we were on Avenida Insurgentes Sur and relaxed a bit. We asked each other what that thing was that we had just seen, but together we couldn't really find an explanation. Now, evidently, people in the scientific community don't believe us or share our hypothesis of a bald albino homeless person with severe mental issues, but that thing definitely wasn't human. It's a volcanic area with caves, and the vegetation is some crazy different types of scrub. Now, nearby are the Institutes of Biology, Ecology, and Biomedical Research. The Olympic Stadium of Ciudad Universitaria is also close by. The entire area is monitored by surveillance cameras so that humanoid beings have surely been captured on video by UNAM security. But for some reason, nothing has been officially reported. For decades, the area lacked lighting and was ideal for stargazing without light pollution. Coincidentally, after our sighting, the area was fully illuminated. The vegetation was trimmed and security was increased, with guards urging visitors to leave due to reports of, I quote, feral dogs. To finish, an interesting fact. After seeing that pale humanoid, we didn't talk about the incident again, as if we had forgotten it. It wasn't until 6 months later when my brother showed us a video about the iceberg of UNAM, which was now deleted from YouTube, that several people reported seeing the same pale humanoid in that area. What was surprising was that all of us who were involved had forgotten about it. From that moment, I began investigating. Various cultures in the Americas have legends and folklore about creatures resembling the pale humanoid. Here in Mexico, they are called Nahuales, depending on the region of the country. I have returned to the same place after dark and always in the winter. It's said that these beings prefer the cold and are nocturnal, but I've not seen it again. I hope to encounter this thing again, and this time I will approach it to find out what it is, as it has haunted my thoughts ever since. This thing should not exist in.
Wow.
So, this is what you get when you get a couple of biologists stumble across something, not afraid. They're like, what is that, and why do I not know what this is?
Yeah, that's a wild story.
So, maybe there is getting to be more and more and more. But that's not the only one that took place in Mexico.
Well, let's take a break. We got some bills to make. Can you hear the thunder?
I hear it, dude. I keep waiting for the power to go down or something to get knocked off at any second with it rumbling in here.
Yeah, let's take a break real quick to pay some bills. When we get back, you can finish up with some more stories from Mexico.
All right, I got you one. All right, sounds good.
All right, stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Pow.
I don't know how bad it's raining outside, but I can really hear
it. It's getting it.
Right?
It's getting it now.
So before the power goes out, please continue with your other sighting you said you had in Mexico.
Here's another one. There's several witnesses claim to have seen this creature, okay? Professor Ana Luis Cid, she said that, "I've learned of this incident through Ricardo Garcia of Monclovia, and it should be noted that reports are from three separate dates, April 4th, 5th, and 9th. This was back in 2010, okay?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And it was also seen by children in the Chameca District on the 5th, and it was seen in the Alamo District, where the witnesses pointed out that it submerged into the Monclovia River. Goes on to all this. So here's where it starts out. Residents of Colonia Chiameca, which sounds Monclovia Coahuila, that's where it is, was gripped by a psychosis on Saturday night after two children reported seeing an alleged monster of a humanoid characteristics and four legs on a Calelandres in the busy sector. The children described the entity as a little man with smooth gray skin and four legs or lower extremities. It was seen in an empty lot of the street in question in the Chameca district. Omar Andres and Jose Ronaldo Gallegos, both 13 and local residents, were terrified and spread the word of the being that they had just seen among other locals. The mother of one of the youngsters, seeing the state of the nerves that her child was in, called the police, requesting that whoever caused her son to fall into such state of terror be apprehended. After receiving the report, law enforcement agents reported to the scene and searched everywhere for the strange little man, but could not establish its whereabouts. However, this is not the first time that strange things have been reported in this district, according to the residents. Now you jump forward, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like a day, the very next day, Monclovia, Coahuila. Residents of Colina Alamo had quite a fright yesterday upon seeing a large, gray-colored, four-legged creature submerge into the waters of the Monclovia River at the location known as the Blue Pond, El Charco Azul. Public safety personnel reported immediately to the scene to deal with this case, which represents the second sighting of an unknown being with matching characteristics. Officers of the Policia Preventiva ordered the bathers out of the water at the local. First of all, if I'm in the water and something like that enters the water, well, y'all already know me. I'm not going to be in the water. But if I were in the water and something like that enters the water, I'm exiting the water and retrieving a handgun. That's how these things are going to play out, right?
Yeah.
Not messing around with these monsters with me in the water. So they asked them to get out of the water because where they saw the gray monster, the gray thing entering the water. According to the reports provided by the police department, residents contacted the desk officer to report that strange animal sighting at 2 p.m. It should be noted that on Saturday night, two minors were terrified by the sight of a strange being just right down the street. They described it to the exact same thing. So now we're already talking. They've got two. Then you jump forward to the 9th. This was released on the 6th. So it's boom, boom. Jump forward to April 9th, still 2010. Again, Monclovia, Coahuila, the monster seen at Chameca and the Monclovia River appears to dwell in the city's southwestern section over by Ejido Curva de Juan Sanchez. where it has slain 10 goats over the past 6 months and has been seen on at least 5 occasions, even in broad daylight. So Jimmy Cruz, or Jaime, at 21-year-old shepherd from Araputa, Guanajuato,
sure,
says that he has seen the strange beast several times between Ejudo Curva de Juan Sanchez and the Colinas de Santiago district. The beast is no ordinary animal and is also capable of extremely high leaps.
What could it be?
3 sightings in less than 5 days.
And what part of Mexico did it say?
Coahuila.
Yeah, okay. I'm marking it off my list. Right. Someplace
this
else
was back
not
in 2010.
Go. I don't care. There if it was back in 1910. I'm not going.
Right.
Between them and the cartel.
Or 10,000 years ago, I'm not going.
Between them and the cartel, why put yourself through that? I can get good Tex-Mex food right here.
You're not going to go down there and look for the gray crawler that's slipping in out of the water?
I don't want anything to do with gray crawlers.
You're good with that?
Every time I hear that thunder, I think something's coming
in. Something's coming
room.
In, yeah. But, okay. We always bring this up. Is it so hard to study something? Because like these stories that we receive, we pass on to y'all, the encounters, because they're usually one-offs. Mm-hmm. Here is something that's been reported 3 times, and they all have they've seen the exact same thing in different areas. Now, I'm not saying, of course, back in 2010, I'm not saying that the people that reported it the second night didn't know about the first night, could have easily made it up. Played it along, could have been kids, this, that, or the other. But multiple people saw it go into the water. There we go. It's still going.
I heard it clicking in my earphones.
It started clicking. I'm like, it's fixing to shut off. But that many people saw it go into the water. Multiple had seen it. The 2 kids had seen it before. Mother knows her child. She knows he's not lying because he's freaking out. It's the reason she called the cops, because she knew something bad had happened. We very rarely get this to where there's multiple days in a row of the exact same thing happening.
I agree.
I think it's awesome.
And with the lightning hitting all over, and so much so that I can feel it in my headphones, I'm kind of nervous being this thing on my head if it was to strike the studio. You know what I'm saying?
You want to wrap it up?
I think it's probably best we should.
Before we burn something up?
Before we get out of here, let's not forget our wonderful sponsors. We got an offer for you listeners. Secure your privacy with Surfshark. Go to surfshark.com/expanded or use our code expanded at checkout to get 4 extra months of Surfshark VPN. That's Surfshark.com/EXPANDED. Can't spell.
Haha.
It's time to take control of your online security. Try Surfshark today and enjoy their 30-day money-back guarantee. And hold on. The internet just went out. Trying to find our other sponsor here.
Like, seriously. I think all we've got is the power. All we have is the power.
Yeah, man, the internet's totally out. We have everything. We have nothing but power. So I guess we'll have to thank that sponsor later. I know it's Green Chef, but I don't remember the link.
I don't remember the link. We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. That's right. If you have a story you'd like to share with me and Cam, you can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline 888-393-2783. And you can follow the show, write reviews, all that stuff. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.